Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when I'm perfect in every way. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Yeah. If this morning's gospel were a musical, the Pharisee would be singing that song. And our tax collector would be singing All Apologies by Nirvana. Pharisees and tax collectors are stock characters as we understand them in biblical drama. The self-righteous, rule-bound religious leader lacking in compassion and insight is contrasted with the repentant, meek, simple, and humble tax collector. Yet, these two characters appearing together or even separately in a scene set in the temple would have surprised the people for whom this story was originally told. Although Pharisees were religious leaders, the center of their ministry was not in the temple at the altar, but rather in the home and in the community. Pharisees held to what was then considered a liberal interpretation of Scripture. The aim of Pharisaic law was to observe or to make the observance of Torah available to all. Pharisees were the original proponents of the priesthood of all believers. And so to find a Pharisee in this scene is unexpected, to say the least. Equally intriguing is the tax collector's presence in this scene. Tax collectors typically played the bad guys in the dramas of ancient Palestine. They were never sympathetic or nuanced characters. Tax collectors were regarded as collaborators with the Roman government, traitors to their neighbors and their people. No doubt there were other people present in the temple that day holding uncharitable thoughts about our tax collector. The characters in this parable are complicated. They perform against type. A true Pharisee would have pondered the presence of the tax collector in the temple, mulling over what the law had to say about the tax collector's line of business, yet keeping in mind God's mandate to love the neighbor. The true tax collector would have been scarce at temple worship, fully occupied with staying ahead of his Roman bosses and dodging his angry neighbors, all to feed his own family. Parables are like fishing lures. They are full of attractive features, feathers, and bright colors, and they end with a sharp barb. On the surface, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is a straightforward and engaging story about the dangers of spiritual pride and the benefits of confession and penitence. But where is that hook? One cannot read this story without identifying with one or both of the characters. Me? I'm the Pharisee in this story. Judgy McJudgy Pants. Oh, Lord, I thank thee that you gave me the good sense not to wear flip-flops to the grocery store when it's 50 degrees outside. Goodness, what are you thinking? And Lord, I thank you that I am not like other people, my neighbors who sleep through Sunday mornings, or the rector of that big Montgomery County parish who gets all kinds of attention just because they have tons of money to spend on programs. And Lord, I thank you that I am not like those Astros fans. No, they think they're special just because they come from Texas. yada, blada, blada, yada, yada. What makes you perform against type? I wonder if Jesus was trying to tell us something about the double-edged sword of religion and faith. The Pharisee was so concerned about making sure that everyone knew that he was a good Pharisee that he trampled all over the spirit of the law he sought to practice to perfection. Faith, belief in a good and loving God, led the tax collector, a sinner by definition in the ancient world, to acknowledge God's judgment and throw himself on God's mercy. I become Judgy McJudgy Pants when I see behavior in others that pushes my buttons. We get our buttons pushed when others remind us of parts of ourselves that we would rather deny, or when they trigger shame around our baggage. Lord only knows what kind of childhood scars and traumas the Pharisee was dragging around with him that led him to believe that he is exceptional, not like anyone else, certainly not like the people he judges. When we are aware we have buttons that get pushed and that we are prone to trip over our own baggage, we can work to be better at seeing when we are judging, excluding, and labeling others based on our own limited understanding. When we get curious about how our baggage shapes us and how the baggage others carries influence their lives, well then, we hold the power to transform lives. Betsy Winters shared a post on Facebook that had the following story. A middle school teacher tried a new activity called the baggage activity with her students. She asked her students if they knew what it meant to have baggage. They mostly agreed that it was the hurtful stuff that you carry around with you. She asked them to write down on a piece of paper what was bothering them, what was heavy on their heart, what was hurting them. No names were to be on that piece of paper. Then they wadded up their piece of paper and threw it across the room. The students then took turns picking up a piece of paper and reading aloud what their classmates had written. After the paper was read aloud, the teacher asked if the person who had written what was read wanted to identify themselves and if they cared to share any more about their story with the class. The teacher wrote that in her 22 years of teaching, she had never been so moved by what her students opened up about and shared with the class. Things like suicide, parents in prison, drugs in the family, being abandoned by their parents for being gay, death, cancer, and on and on and on. The students who read the papers cried because what they were reading was so tough. The students who chose to identify that they wrote the story that was shared cried as well. The teacher said the day was emotionally draining, but she wrote, "I firmly believe that my kids will judge a little less, love a little more, and forgive a little faster." A bag filled with the wadded up stories hangs on the teacher's classroom door to remind her students that we all have baggage. We can choose whether we carry our baggage into the room and into our relationships. Her students all know they are not alone. They are loved, and they have each other's backs. Jesus told parables to help us look at our neighbor, our God, and ourselves in a new light. Jesus told parables to remind us that we are not alone, that we are loved, that we were created to have each other's backs.